It's time for a solid hour of business insights and strategies for success on Mind Your Business. And here's your host, the president and founder of Bottom Line Marketing, Yitzhak Saflis.
You're tuned to another edition of Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis right here on 77 WABC, airing throughout the New York, New Jersey metro area and, of course, worldwide at MYBRadio.com, MYBRadio.com, and on the 77 WABC app. Thank you, New York. The Nielsen ratings have us once again in the top 10 in New York AM radio. We've been in the top 10 for already 4 years? Three and a half years. And we recently came in number 3. How cool is that? But of course, that's a testament to you, the great listener of the show. You've come to expect great business content week in and week out. And of course, this week, we ain't going to let you down. Yeah, we could say it like that. We are certainly not going to let you down. But I'm just going to keep you in suspense and drop longer. You know, it's radio, and especially with a guest like I have tonight. Oh, did we have to fight to get him? But we got him. So, yeah, this show on the legendary 77 WABC is all about you. Every single week, we seek out and interview C-level executives and business leaders from all types of industries. We cover such a wide range of subjects throughout the shows: sales, social media, corporate culture, marketing and advertising, financial planning, time management, and so much more. Stay tuned for tonight's edition of Mind Your Business, where you'll gain solid advice to get you ahead in today's business world. Also, a special shout-out and a thank you to all those that give me feedback. Yeah, the person that talked about, that told me how they stack the eggs in their fridge. Now, of course, this is a business show, but last week we talked about FIFO with Dr. Rich Roberts. FIFO, first in, first out. If you missed it, it's up on the archives, mybradio.com, mybradio.com. That's where you can pick up all our past guests. Jay Baer, social media guru. Todd Magazine, president of Blink Fitness. The list goes. Brian Solis. Renee Reinsberg. I'm going through my list here. Joe Hart, president of and CEO of Dale Carnegie. Linda Kaplan Thaler. Christine Comerford. Dawn Fay, district president at Robert Half. And so many other great guests. In fact, just recent guests was Dr. Rich Roberts the last 2 weeks. Adam Levin, he is a cybersecurity expert. Before that, David Greenfield, CEO at Met Council. Before that, executives at Investors Bank. Every single week, we deliver great business content. Stay tuned for tonight's edition. It's going to be with Mark Levy. Mark Levy is the founder of Levy Innovation LLC, a positioning and branding firm that helps consultants and other thought leaders increase their fees by 2,000%. You heard that right. So you're wondering, okay, right, yeah, 2,000%, right, yeah. Well, let me just, I'm not going to name drop. I'm going to leave that up to Mark if he wants to. But as far as some of his past clients, without saying their names, a former department head in the White House, all right, a speaker to the UN, CEOs of major corporations, famous TED and TEDx speakers, performers on the stage at Las Vegas, New York, just to name a few, Wall Street Journal and New York Times best-selling authors. So we're going to talk about creating a powerful backstory, how to differentiate, perfecting a dynamite elevator pitch, brainstorming new ideas, and so many other important creative business topics. Mark Levy, welcome to Mind Your Business on 77 WABC.
Yitzhak, thank you so much. Thank you for that. And by the way, what did your listeners say about stacking eggs in the refrigerator?
Well, okay.
I just want to know.
Okay, so last week's guest, a brilliant individual, Dr. Rich Roberts, he actually turned around a business that was about to go bankrupt, and then, as it says on Wikipedia, sold it for $800 million. So he certainly knows a thing or two about business. He's actually a scientist and a medical doctor. He's a brilliant individual. So he taught, and what was beautiful is that he shared important basic business concepts that so many people, it's like you would think it's common sense, but they fail at it. So he was talking about FIFO, first in, first out. When he first came into the pharmaceutical company that he eventually took over, so there was a lot of medications that were past the expiration date, and he did some homework. Why is that happening so frequently? So what happened is when inventory would come in, they would just stack it on the shelves and push back older inventory. So inevitably, there was a lot of spoilage. So he talked about the concept first in, first out, which sometimes is correct, sometimes is not. So, for example, eggs in the fridge, right? So if you have, let's say, 2 dozen eggs in your fridge, okay, and then your wife goes and buys another dozen, does she put it on top of the previous two, or you should lift those two and stick it under it, right? Because otherwise you're going to have spoiled eggs in a, you know, within a few weeks. Now, of course, it was it's a business show. We're not talking, you know, we're not talking about how to stack your fridge, but he was talking about it from a business concept. But yes, the concept of FIFO was talked about last week. Yes.
Right, and the applications in business.
That's correct.
Love it.
That's
Love
correct. So where do we jump? You know, I'm going to jump right in with this one. You're a differentiation expert, one of the leading differentiation experts out there in the world. You've said you wish your job didn't have to exist. So you want to put yourself out of business. Is that, do I hear you correctly?
Right. So first, let me, in case people don't know what a differentiation expert is, is, right, I help people find what I call their big idea of their business, the thing that their business is going to be known for, the thing that's going to be elevated at the fore of their business on their website, in their products, what in their pitches, and, you know, like it's going to be there front and center. And anyone in the marketplace who falls in love with that idea will seek you out because you embody that idea, right? So that's the idea of differentiation. And sometimes people come to me and they want to differentiate themselves. They have a service business or they're solopreneurs. You know, I deal with all kinds of, I deal with large organizations and also like individual thought leaders. And so sometimes when people want to differentiate themselves, they're a speaker, they're a consultant, a coach, something like that, I say to them, they get very confused because their lives, their business are about so many different things. You know, they can do so many different things, so many different concepts are important to them. And they come to, and they have a lot of different services and they come to me and they're really embarrassed and they're apologizing for like all the cool stuff that they know how to do and all the cool stuff that they've done in their life. And I say, whoa, 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 you know, like stop for a minute. I said, on the Maslow's hierarchy, you would rate as a fully actualized human being. You know, the fact that you can do, don't apologize to me for being this amazing human being who knows a lot about everything and can do so many different things. That's what makes you great. Understand that the idea about differentiation, it comes from products in the 19th century. The whole concept comes from the idea of, let's say, selling soap. Like back in the 19th century, right, you had soap, and to differentiate the soap, they made the soap different things so each soap would be memorable and unto, you know, it would be unique in and of itself. So one soap was 99 and 44, 100% pure. One had a blue streak in it. One could float in water. One was 20 mule team tough, and so forth. And that idea, right, that was because the soap couldn't talk. So the soap itself had to be around a single idea of differentiation. But now, because everyone considers themselves a brand, we're kind of applying the idea of differentiation to our lives. And know that differentiation, it's super important because people need to be able to pick you out of a crowd, but also be aware that it is a marketing concern. It's a marketing constraint. It doesn't mean you need to corrupt who you are as a human being, right? You know, you need to be the same fully actualized person that you are in order to deliver what you're doing. It's just for marketing reasons, you need to be about one main thing so people can remember you. But don't get rid of the stuff that makes you great that's behind that.
So this
does
is
that
a great
make sense?
It does. But the obvious question that comes back, and I'm sure you've heard this a thousand, maybe a million times, okay, is that, so wait a second. Is it a benefit if I have talent in a lot of different areas, or should I basically throw those overboard and just focus on one core area?
Yeah, I don't know how other people would answer this, but you need to be amazing in one area. But I believe that you should be great in countless areas because human beings our minds are not precision instruments. Mm-hmm. You know, like mm-hmm. we draw from all kinds of different models and all kinds of different ideas in life and all kinds of different stories and so forth. So to me, the more things that you understand about the world mm-hmm. and the more things that excite you and you can draw upon, the more robust your business will be and your solutions will be and your life will be, right? Because you won't be working for some like thin soup that you're drawing from where you only know just like one kind of idea. You'll be drawing from lots of different stuff. So yes, you need to be brilliant in one area, but I don't think that you should, you know, stop the brilliance in other areas.
Got it. So when people come to you, they basically, they know they're talented, they know they're all over the place, or their company, they're looking to fine tune, come up with that, you know, specific idea that they could then, you know, roll out, you know, and face the world with. First, before we go to our first break, how can people get in touch with your firm?
Oh, my website is levyinnovation.com. That's L-E-V-Y innovation.com. Yeah, and my contact information's there. Thank you.
Excellent. And again, it's how would you package the type of individual that is a perfect fit to be your client?
Okay. So again, I deal with thought leaders and I deal with organizations. And it's usually, it's really about people who are super smart at what it is they do, and they want to be known for one big irresistible idea, but they're not necessarily known for that yet, or the idea that they're known for needs a refresh because the public has acclimated to that idea, so it doesn't stand out as special as it should. So we come up with something brand new. What is that idea, and how do you write and speak about it so that people get excited about it anew?
Amazing. Right after the commercial break, I'm hoping you'll name drop maybe. Maybe you'll share with us a story or two about some of your clients?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
Came across a great commercial real estate opportunity and need money fast? At TBG Funding, we understand the challenge. Waiting months for a bank-issued loan can cost you your project. That's where we come in. Call TBG Funding today at 718-705-9300 to get the funding you need to get your project off the ground. That's 718-705-9300. With loans closed in 23 states and over $800 million in closed loans, TBG Funding can help you close any commercial real estate deal in as little as 3 days so that you can close deals quickly and efficiently. Visit tbgfunding.com to find out how we can help you capitalize on your next opportunity. That's tbgfunding.com.
Finally, a payroll service that does things your way. At Brands Paycheck, you're not a number, you're a partner. Brands Paycheck's personalized payroll solutions ensure that your business receives your financial information the way you want it. From complete payroll services and time tracking to benefits administration and HR solutions, Brands Paycheck helps streamline your business's payroll process and maximize productivity. Call 888-757-3020. That's 888-757-3020 to schedule a free consultation. Brands Paycheck services a wide range of industries nationwide, including hospitality, transportation, B2B, B2C, nonprofit, finance, retail, healthcare, real estate, and more. Learn why companies nationwide rely on Brands Paycheck. Call 888-757-3020. That's 888-757-3020 to schedule a free consultation today or visit online at BrandsPaycheck.com. That's BrandsPaycheck.com.
Missed an episode of Mind Your Business? We've got you covered. Check out our YouTube channel, Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflas, to hear interviews with business executives and thought leaders whenever and wherever you want. That's Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflas.
We're back. Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflas right here on 77 WABC. My guest is none other than Mark Levy. Mark is the founder of Levy Innovation, a positioning and branding firm that helps consultants and other thought leaders increase their fees by up to 2,000%. So, of course, you know, that sounds too good to be true, Mark. So I'm going to put you on the spot here. I mean, yeah, you know, maybe you'll share some of your some of your great stories that you've had out there. I mean, you're taking your... I imagine you're not guaranteeing you'll increase their fees by they'll be able to increase it by 2,000%, but still putting it out there is a pretty tall order.
Oh yeah, well I say right, we increase your fees by up to 2,000%. It's the up to,
okay,
and it's the idea of if you stand out as different and special and important, then people have no choice but to seek you out if they want that idea. So naturally, if your idea is important enough to people, you can actually be paid a premium for it, right? Because they'll want to see it actualized in their life, and you're the one to do it, right? You know, if they want the one thing, then they have to come to you. So you had asked about some of the clients I've worked with or some stories.
Right.
I mean, you know, some of you may know Simon Sinek of Start With Why fame.
Sure.
So I had worked with Simon. Some of you, especially in the New York area, might know Steve Cohen, the Millionaire's Magician, the show Chamber Magic.
Sure.
On TripAdvisor. It's actually rated and has been for years the number one highest rated live show in New York City. It's rated higher on TripAdvisor for live shows than even Hamilton.
Wow.
Right? All kinds of different head of the strategy unit, the Harvard Business School, so forth, people like that. But so you want an example of what this kind of differentiation
right.
works about,
yes.
right? Can
yes.
I give you an example?
Please.
Yeah. So one that I like to use, I've used this for years because it's just so entertaining. So many years ago, a guy came to me named Bill Treasurer. And Bill said, Mark, I'm a management consultant. I do leadership development and team building workshops. Unfortunately, 300,000 other consultants do exactly what it is I do. So when I go into an organization trying to win that organization's business, I always go in hat in hand, kind of hanging my head because I have no real way of standing out from those other 300,000 consultants. And even when I win the organization's business, I occasionally win their business. They always get me way, way down on price because I have no way of hanging on to any value I had established in their eyes. A top week, a week I absolutely pray for, Bill said, is $1,800. And he said, I have a wife, I have kids, I can't keep going on this way, I need your help. So Bill hired me, which is my favorite part of the story.
Okay.
Bill hired me. I interviewed Bill. I interviewed his clients, I interviewed his colleagues, and I discovered something interesting. Bill Treasurer, before he was a management consultant, was a professional high diver in theme parks. He would climb up a 9-story high radio tower that is a ladder standing 9 stories high all by itself with nothing at all around it. And when he got to the top of the 9-story high ladder, Yitzchak, he would spray his body with gasoline. He would light himself on fire.
It's crazy.
And he would dive 9 stories into water. Over the course of 10 years, he did that gig 1,500 times. He was so good at being Captain Inferno that the theme park he worked for named him the captain of an entire team of Captain Infernos that went up and down the East Coast of the United States performing this gig. But the most interesting thing about Bill Treasurer,
right.
he was and still is afraid of...
Don't tell me heights. Don't tell me.
Yes.
Oh,
exactly.
That's impossible.
So, right, he did this 1,500 times over 10 years, 9 stories high on fire, and he was afraid of heights. And I mean even just normal heights, like climbing up a 6-foot ladder
right.
would scare him. And so to finish the story, so Bill, I took the idea that Bill did what he had to do despite his fear, and we married it to the fact he did leadership development and team building workshops. And we made his company Giant Leap Consulting. They build courage in organizations. They help leaders and their employees take the risks they know they should be taking but aren't. So all of Bill's workshops, all of his coaching, all of his consulting, all of his keynote speaking started to revolve around ways of driving fear out of the workplace to quote W. Edwards Deming, so that people could take the most significant risks they had to achieve their top goals. So what happened for Bill with this idea? Now, understand here, Yitzchak, what we did. We didn't just lead with Bill's backstory, right? His backstory, and I'll explain more about backstory in a moment, but we didn't just take like what got him to where he was to amplify his existing business of being leadership consultant or whatnot. We actually changed his whole business to suit his backstory. In other words, he went from being just regular leadership development and team building to being about courage building. So everything he did was about courage building. So I told you a week he used to pray for was $1,800.
Right.
Now for the past many years, he's a seven-figure-a-year guy. He's booked months in advance. And also he's written several books, and they all have the concept of leadership and courage in the titles. So sometimes that's overt. So he'll have titles of his books like, Courage Goes to Work. So that's overtly about courage and work, but other times it's implied, like Real Leaders Open Doors, where, you know, you get the idea. It's about courage and leadership, but it's not overt in the title. So that would be an example.
Great example.
I mean, a very dramatic one. You certainly don't have to have a light yourself on fire story in your background to change it. But that would be an example of how you take something organic to what a business is, either an individual's business or an entire organization, and you use it to create excitement about a specific idea, right? Make sense?
It makes a lot of sense. And what's a particular takeaway that I would like to focus on is the fact that here you had a person. He was very talented. He certainly a thought leader in his area. But until he sat down with you, and you dissected and went through the background and went through his, you know, his life story, and then found the diamonds in the rough, and then said, okay, now it's just a matter of packaging. Let's repackage you the way you need to differentiate yourself. And then bam, it opened up a whole new world for him.
Right. Well, an interesting thing about what you said, something I really should specify, that the best people or the best organizations to differentiate are daring brands, you know, that they're daring, that they have some, that they're willing to stand out. Because, see, sometimes people come to me and they say, I want you to position me, I want you to differentiate me, and I want you to stand out. And I say, you know, I want to stand out. And I say to them, you know, if we differentiate you properly, you will stand out. Like, so understand that people will love you, but, you know, you're also going to be very visible. Are you okay with that? Are you comfortable with that, right? Like, because to stand out, you can't be about something lukewarm. You have to go all in about a specific idea, right? You really that has to be a cause in your life. You have to really support that idea, and everything you do has to be around that idea, right? So you can't really take half measures if you truly want to differentiate in a way that's going to make a big change in your business and in people's lives.
Right, and you have to be comfortable in that skin. That's right. You have to be comfortable.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. If you're not comfortable in that skin, there's no way you're going to be able to live with it and then make it work.
Now, before I go to my next question, I realize, potch, how could I not give a shout out to Stephen Gaffney? Stephen. Oh. Stephen got me in touch with Mark. Thank you, Stephen.
Hey, so, thanks, Stephen.
Yes. You speak about, and you've helped hundreds, maybe thousands, perfect their elevator pitch. And I'm just going to stress something when I read up about you. You even tell people that they, you know, one elevator pitch, that ain't going to do it. They need to have sometimes a dozen or dozens of elevator pitches. And we know how difficult it is even to perfect one elevator pitch. So what are you doing? Are you making people crazy? I mean,
it's a little counterintuitive. So really quickly, what an elevator pitch is, just to make sure everyone knows, or an elevator speech, the concept, people are not exactly sure where it comes from, but as far as I could trace back, in 1979, I think it was, Philip Crosby, the quality guru, the guy who wrote Quality is Free and Quality Without Tears, wrote a book called The Art of Getting Your Own Sweet Way. Mm-hmm. And in the second edition, not the first edition, because I have both editions, but in the second edition, he actually says, and this is the first time I've seen it anywhere, he said, if you're working in a company and you get in an elevator and suddenly the big boss is there, Mr. or Miss Big is there, and you get on and they don't know who you are in the elevator ride, you have to let them know who you are and what project you're working on, and you need to talk about it in enough detail but not too much so that they end up remembering you, and if you need to call upon them for resources, they'll remember you and they'll give you those resources. Right. So that was the idea in 1979. The idea of elevator pitch had, at least that term, hadn't been formalized. So now elevator pitches or elevator speeches, it's really like people find it very difficult to talk about them because they find it very hard to sum up their lives or their businesses in a way that does justice to them, that's quick enough that people are interested and so forth. And elevator pitches kind of scare people because they devote their lives to doing a specific job or a specific task, whatever it is they're doing, or creating a specific product. And then in speaking about it in a very short time, let's say 10 seconds or 20 seconds,
yeah,
or 30
that's all
seconds,
it is.
Someone might like totally ignore them. So now they feel, you know, the person who did the pitches now feels like their total existence is negated. It's like, oh my God, I couldn't hold this person's attention for 20 seconds and I'm devoting 50 hours a week to working on this thing. And so they feel awful. And the problem is with most elevator pitches is that people try to roll their whole life into the elevator pitch or the elevator speech, and they make it so generic and uninteresting that, right, like it can't hold people's attention. Right. So that's why they find elevator speeches or pitches so difficult. What I say to people is you need elevator speeches of different length. You need one of, let's say, 7 to 10 seconds about what it is you do. You need one of 30 seconds. You need one of 90 seconds or so, because it depends on the situation you're going to be in.
Right.
But not only that, you need those different length elevator speeches for everything you do. You need them for your business as a whole. You need different elevator speeches for each one of your products you sell. You need mm-hmm. different elevator speeches for each one of your services that you sell. And the bizarre thing, Yitzchak, is that the more you realize in an elevator speech, you can only talk about one thing,
right?
Not your whole life.
That's right.
The easier it becomes. So that's why I say coming up with one elevator speech is torture, but coming up with 24 is easy. It's because you were asking too much of an elevator pitch, and now you're being appropriate with how you use an elevator pitch.
Right.
So an example, mm-hmm. if I may.
Sure.
Of an elevator pitch. So, I mean, they can be very simple. So for me, if someone asks what I do, one of my pitches, you quoted one of mine earlier, where I would say consultants and other thought leaders hire me to increase their fees by up to 2,000%.
Right.
And then if someone said, oh my God, how do you do that? And that's the appropriate thing. You want them to say, how do you
right,
do that?
Right.
Then I would say, well, I do that predominantly in two ways. The first way is I'm a differentiation consultant. So I won't go into that whole thing. But once I get them interested in what I have to say, then I'll talk in more detail about my business. But other elevator speeches I have, and then I like to share with the audience an elevator speech that they can use, like a format that they can use. But you don't have to get too fancy with elevator speeches. Another one that I commonly use now mm-hmm. is if someone says, what do you do, Mark? I just say, oh, I'm a differentiation consultant. I differentiate businesses and brands and thought leaders and political campaigns and live shows and TV shows and books and speeches. Like, I help the people involved in those things come up with what the core idea is, the irresistible idea. And then I teach them how to talk clearly and engagingly about those things so that people get really excited by them. Right? So I'm not trying too hard in that kind of thing. I'm just, it's just a simple statement of what it is I do. So the format of a format that I had created that may fit some of your listeners, it may not fit all listeners, but it may fit some listeners, is that you say very simply, and I'll give you an example.
Sure.
You say very simply who you are and what you do, and then you say, but the way I do it is very unusual. Right? Because now they're going to, so when you say the way I do it is very unusual, what you're going to do is highlight your point of differentiation. So just as an example, one of my clients, Victor Huang. So Victor, if someone said, what is it that you do? Victor would say, oh, I'm an economic growth expert. So what I do is I help businesses and neighborhoods and cities and states and even entire countries to grow economically, right? To be prosperous economically.
Right.
But the way I do this is very, very unusual. See, most people who try to grow a neighborhood or a state or even an entire country, they use what I call the Goliath solution. That is, they look to bring in a giant player into their town, you know, like an Amazon headquarters or something.
Right.
And anyway, Victor would go in to explain what the giant player is and why that doesn't work. And then he would go in to say, but again, what I do is different. I go for bottoms up growth. I go for helping to create a community that's full of entrepreneurs who are of the community, who can help the community grow organically anyway, and so forth. Make sense? So it's the idea of he says what it is he does and then he, and for who he does it. And then it's just, it's the way I do it's very different. So like, let's say someone was listening and they were a leadership consultant.
Mm-hmm.
It would be, oh, I'm a leadership consultant. I help leaders grow and lead teams and so forth. Right. But the way I do it's very unusual. See, the way most people do it, and then you would explain how most people do it, and then you would explain the way you do it.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yes, yes. And of course, then you're teasing the people with a with a suspense factor. I mean, suspense is always fantastic.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right. That's an excellent way to say it. But also, by the way, in that speech, what I'm doing is I'm using the classic sales letter format. So the classic sales letter format, and you may know this already, but I'll just repeat it in case you don't. Classic sales letter format is this. It's, here's what the problem is, reader.
Mm-hmm.
And as a matter of fact, the problem is even worse than you could ever have imagined. It goes much further than that. Mm-hmm. And then you talk about how it goes even further. Here's how people have tried to solve that problem, but those ways don't really work. Here's the way to really solve that problem.
Right.
And I'm an expert in solving the problem that way.
Right.
Right.
Right. Here's
so all
my
I'm
solution.
Doing is
right.
I'm speaking it instead of writing it, but I'm using a version of that format. I'm sorry I spoke over you.
No, it's good. Right. I was just saying that's correct. You know, and here's how we solve it. You know?
Right. Here's the problem. It's worse than you even thought. People can't really solve it, but here's how you solve it. And thank God I'm here because I can really, that I'm an expert in that way. Yeah.
My guest is Mark Levy. He's the founder of Levy Innovation LLC, a positioning and branding firm that helps consultant and thought leaders increase their fees by up to 2,000%. Before we go to a commercial break, again, Mark, what's the best way for people to find out more about your services?
Oh, yeah. My website, again, thank you for asking, is levyinnovation.com. That's L-E-V-Y innovation.com.
We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
Came across a great commercial real estate opportunity and need money fast? At TBG Funding, we understand the challenge. Waiting months for a bank-issued loan can cost you your project. That's where we come in. Call TBG Funding today at 718-705-9300 to get the funding you need to get your project off the ground. That's 718-705-9300. With loans closed in 23 states and over $800 million in closed loans, TBG Funding can help you close any commercial real estate deal in as little as 3 days so that you can close deals quickly and efficiently. Visit tbgfunding.com to find out how we can help you capitalize on your next opportunity. That's tbgfunding.com.
Finally, a payroll service that does things your way. At Brands Paycheck, you're not a number, you're a partner. Brands Paycheck's personalized payroll solutions ensure that your business receives your financial information the way you want it. From complete payroll services and time tracking to benefits administration and HR solutions, Brands Paycheck helps streamline your business's payroll process and maximize productivity. Call 888-757-3020. That's 888-757-3020 to schedule a free consultation. Brands Paycheck services a wide range of industries nationwide, including hospitality, transportation, B2B, B2C, nonprofit, finance, retail, healthcare, real estate, and more. Learn why companies nationwide rely on Brands Paycheck. Call 888-757-3020. That's 888-757-3020 to schedule a free consultation today or visit online at BrandsPaycheck.com. That's BrandsPaycheck.com.
Every accounting firm has a history. The history of Saul Friedman & Company spans 45 years of commitment, dependability, and reliability for our clients. A client at Saul Friedman & Company is never alone in making critical business decisions. Behind each business move stands the full resources of an accounting firm with the financial know-how to inspire confidence and ensure success. Call 718-232-1111 now to find out how Saul Friedman & Company can help you grow your business. There's a reason our tagline is accounting with accountability. That is what we believe in, and that is the ethic we follow. For a free consultation, call 718-232-1111. That's 718-232-1111. Or visit our website at snfco.com. That's snfco.com.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Yusuf Saflis right here on 77 WABC. My guest is none other than Mark Levy. He's the founder of Levy Innovation, a positioning and branding firm that helps consultants and thought leaders increase their fees by up to 2,000%. So you're wondering, all right, that's a tall order. How does he do that? Well, that's why we got him on the show. Because, like, how does that happen, you know? So, and a special shout-out to Stephen Gaffney, a mutual friend who got me in touch with Mark. Mark shared some of his clients earlier in the show and shared some great stuff. In case you missed it, by Tuesday morning, listeners know, every single guest is up on the dedicated platform to this show. There you go. MYBRadio.com, MYBRadio.com. The Tuesday following the show is when the episode goes up. And you could, whichever platform you prefer on podcasting, it will be on that one. So some people love Spotify or TuneIn, Playo.fm, Google Play, iTunes, whatever it is. It's up on all the platforms by Tuesday morning. Mark, thank you so much once again for joining me here on Mind Your Business.
Thank you.
Okay, so we're going to move to another topic that you love talking about, and that is brainstorming meetings. Now, we run a marketing firm, so brainstorming meetings are quite important. But I've heard you say that brainstorming meetings don't work. All right. So should we, you know, if we were across the table, we'd, you know, I don't know, we'd get into a fight. I don't know, an arm wrestle.
Yeah. The reason why I say it, so I've actually led brainstorming sessions. I've been called into Mad Men, mm-hmm. you know, like Madison Avenue brainstorming, advertising agencies
right.
lead brainstorms. And the thing is, the reason why I say brainstorming meetings don't work is the way I see them happen is this, that often an organization needs a new idea, either for a client or for themselves or
right,
so.
Right.
And and they set a time to do a brainstorm, but that kind of everyone has to turn because they're all so busy. They start to do other things. They have a million other projects to work on. So no one is really thinking about the idea that needs to be brainstorming about. And I'm not saying in all cases, but I've worked with lots of organizations. So it's almost an abdication of responsibility to do thinking about what they're going to be brainstorming about in the meeting. So then when the meeting happens, people come to the meeting either live or virtually, whatever it is, and now they're under tremendous pressure to come up with an idea that's usable. And the first halfway decent idea that anyone comes up with in the brainstorm meeting, mm-hmm. now the whole brainstorm tilts towards that idea. Like everyone says, oh yeah, that's a great idea. And so now all the little satellite ideas that people create are right in service to that halfway decent idea that they created. And now the brainstorm is over. And now they have to go with that halfway decent idea because they waited so long to do the brainstorm. They didn't do any thinking about the brainstorm ahead of time. And the whole meeting was in service of that first halfway decent idea. So now they have no option but to operationalize around that idea in a product they're creating, a service, whatever it is, a campaign. And so to me, that's why I say brainstorm meetings are broken just because of the way that they're set up and people get busy and this abdication of responsibility for doing the thinking. So to me, the way to go about a brainstorm meeting, I'm not saying that you shouldn't have the brainstorm meeting, but I am a big believer that everyone in the organization who's going to be involved in the brainstorm meeting has to have what I call a thinking campaign mm-hmm. before the brainstorm has to happen. So without going into all the details about it, it's they have to do journaling about what the idea is about and stories around the idea, what it's about and what's surprising about what it is they're going to be brainstorming about and what's obvious about it and what's dangerous about it and all kinds of different things. They're doing this on their own. They're journaling about it or they're talking into recorders. And so what it is they're priming the pump. So by the time the brainstorm meeting happens, they come to the brainstorm meeting, they have so many, each person has so many ideas and images and stories or so, you know, their minds are revved up about what it is they're going to brainstorm about, that the brainstorming meeting goes way better, way smoother. The caliber of ideas are much more interesting, right? And out there because they looked at the subject on their own from so many different ways, right? So that's an example of how to have a brainstorm meeting that's great, is you do these thinking campaigns ahead of time. Another thing, by the way, if I may, with brainstorming meetings, is having people come in and launch into solutions right away can be intimidating to them mm-hmm. because often their bosses are around and so forth. Right. And so it's a little scary. So people kind of hold back. And so what a common thing that I do in, leading brainstorms mm-hmm. is rather than first brainstorming solutions, I have everyone brainstorm every possible question that they have about the thing that we're going to be brainstorming about, like questions about our operation, questions about our ability, questions about the audience, questions about the product or the service, like big questions, small questions, whatever it is you want to ask. We don't even write these questions down. It's just that when you start brainstorming every possible question that comes to your mind about a problem that you're having, it allows you to think about the problem like in its entirety, because often we'll only look at a problem, I find we only look at a problem like in the ways that we can solve it. And if there's a problem we can't solve or a piece of the problem we don't think that we can solve, we tend not to look at it because it scares us. But if you only have to ask questions about those parts of the problem or so, and you know that you're not even going to have to answer those questions, you're just doing it to stir your mind up, then people can look at things in a much more interesting, honest, open way, yeah. right? Make sense?
Absolutely, absolutely. And I love that analogy about priming the pump. If you give thought to it in advance of the meeting, so then they're coming in with a much greater perspective, a much greater capacity to hearing ideas, to exploring additional ideas, as opposed to just like just coming in with a very specific, tight focus. I think that's the word. Too tight and not willing to really crack the idea wide open and hear all types of ideas.
Right. When people are coming to the brainstorm, you're asking them to go too flat-footed from what they had previously been working on, which may not have had anything to do with the brainstorm. Like now going into a whole new way of thinking, and you're not it's just not a human way to conduct these things. By the way, another thing that I do sometimes, I don't always do this, is that I ask people who come to the brainstorm, I give them all a piece of paper and I ask them to write down everything that would be distracting them at the brainstorm. Like I say, I know you have lots of projects. I know you have lots of situations, all kinds of things are going to take up mental space for you. So no one is going to look at this paper whatsoever. I want you to write down all the things that might hinder you from being present here. And you're not going to have to share this. So I give them like a minute. And they write these things down, and I say, great, I want you to fold that paper up into fourths or eighths, and I want you to write your name very clearly on it. And then I go around with a hat or something, and they just drop it in. And I say, okay, know that everything that's going to be distracting you in this meeting, you're going to be able to see it at the end. When we're finished, I'm going to give everyone their paper back, and you're going to open it, and you're going to see everything that's concerning you right now. So hopefully now in the meeting, you can relax because you're not going to have to remember anything other than what we're focused on right now. Such It'll all be there in black and white at the end.
Such a great mindset.
I just put the hat, in a very public place, and people have told me that's really relaxing. Like they feel it's like casting away, like bad thoughts or so, or distraction.
It's amazing. Mindset. It helps clear the mind, albeit temporarily, but it just, basically hey, we're going to put it in the drawer. Don't worry. Life will return. We know that. But just put it in the drawer for a half hour, all right?
Exactly. Well, because brainstorming, it's a human enterprise. Right. It was created by human beings for other human beings. So it's not like we're machines. We can't just go in without, we're thinking about other things or so.
Right.
We're not like these perfect creatures. So you have to deal with us the way that we are. Except, these people have busy lives. They're thinking about other things. Like if you work with people how they really are, they really appreciate it and they give you their best.
Brilliant. My guest is Mark Levy, founder of Levy Innovation, a positioning and branding firm that helps consultants and thought leaders, and in some cases has helped his clients increase their fees by up to 2,000%. Sounds good, too good to be true? Stay tuned to this show. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
Every accounting firm has a history. The history of Saul Friedman & Company spans 45 years of commitment, dependability, and reliability for our clients. A client of Saul Friedman & Company is never alone in making critical business decisions. Behind each business move stands the full resources of an accounting firm with the financial know-how to inspire confidence and ensure success. Call 718-232-1111 now to find out how Saul Friedman & Company can help you grow your business. There's a reason our tagline is accounting with accountability. That is what we believe in, and that is the ethic we follow. For a free consultation, call 718-232-1111. That's 718-232-1111. Or visit our website at snfco.com. That's snfco.com.
Cars for kids, KARS cars for kids. 1-877 cars for kids. Donate your car today.
To learn more about our programs and to donate, go to carsforkids.com. That's Cars with a K. Pickup is quick and easy. You'll also get a vacation voucher and maximum tax deduction.
1-877 Cars for Kids. K-A-R-S Cars for Kids. 1-877 Cars for Kids. Donate your car today.
Also accepting boats, motorcycles, RVs, and real estate donations.
Missed an episode of Mind Your Business? We've got you covered. Check out our YouTube channel, Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis, to hear interviews with business executives and thought leaders whenever and wherever you want. That's Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis right here on 77 WABC. My guest is Mark Levy. He's the founder of Levy Innovation, a positioning and branding firm that helps consultants and other thought leaders in so many different ways. And the result? Many of them have been able to increase their fees by up to 2,000%. Mark, before I get to my final question on the show, how can people get in touch with you and find out more information about how you do this amazing work?
Sure. All my information is at my website, which is levyinnovation.com. That's L-E-V-Y innovation.com.
Well, my last question here is that you have a background as a magician. And another great mutual friend of both of ours is Shep Hyken. He's an NSA Hall of Famer. And his humble beginnings began as a magician. So how does being a magician influence your work?
Yeah, thanks for asking.
Sure.
So, yeah, I've done magic or have been interested in magic since I was 4 years old. And if you think about what a magician is, so when you're a magician, you have to take props that are very ordinary. Like you have to take coins and index cards and things like that. And you have to find the drama in them and in people's lives and things of that nature. And you have to elevate things that people know. You can't start with something bizarre because people don't understand what something bizarre is, you know, and if that bizarre thing does something amazing, people just won't get it. They'll assume that the amazing thing that happened was a property of that bizarre object that you had, right? So you always have to start with something ordinary that everyone understands, and then you find what could be special about the thing or how to amplify the drama. And so that kind of approach is in working with people on organizations, on their products and services, or with individual thought leaders. It's always about finding what's organic to who they are and how can we make this so that the full value of it comes across in a way that people get really, really excited by it. And one of the keys to me in doing this kind of thing is like you would think that I approach things from a very emotional standpoint in understanding people's lives or their work or their products and services. And I do get excited by this stuff, but really being a magician, you often look at things as the way an engineer would. And the reason why I say this, that it has to do with magic. So years ago in the 1940s, there was an amateur magician an engineer. I think he was an acoustic engineer. His last name was Fitzky. Okay. And he wrote a book called The Trick Brain. And in The Trick Brain, he talked about how there were 19 different magic effects. Like, you know, there was an appearance of an object was one. There was a disappearance of an object was two. There was an object, you know, transforming its qualities, like melting or something was three. Whatever it was, all his 19. He said that there are just 19 magic premises. But that said, those 19 magic premises could have become millions of tricks. You know, like, and depending on who you are and what properties you use. So if you're talking about the appearance of an object, there's a big difference between making a quarter appear and making a tiger appear. But those are both appearance tricks, right? It's a similar kind of thing from an engineering perspective. So what I do in asking people about their lives and looking at their lives, thinking like this magician, thinking like this engineer – there are, it's running it through various premises that we can use in order to amplify who they are. And depending on who they are, we change up certain parameters within those premises, if that makes sense, in order to find the drama. So the point I'm getting at is it's not some helter-skelter thing. It's a very artful but very logical sequence to get to an idea that people can own and that the public would adore.
Mark, we have only around 1 minute left, so it might be an unfair question, but we'll ask it anyways. Perhaps you could share, what's your most important marketing tip?
Oh, yeah, that's easy. My most important marketing tip about your products. So this has to do with both your marketing to the outside world, or if you're a leader in organizations, mm-hmm. to getting your messages out inside your organization. Mm-hmm. And that is about honesty is key, that you need to be honest about your motivations, about how you do the work you do, about, you know, why things are the way they are. And the more honest and open and the more you get that stuff out there, the people who will appreciate you for what's real about you are going to want to be around you. They're going to want to buy your products. They're going to want to buy your services. The more they're going to want to work with you, right? So you want to be as open and honest about what makes you you, or what makes your company. And that's the biggest attractor of all.
That's great,
honesty in all aspects.
Honesty and authentic. I say here, be authentic.
Yes.
Be authentic. Be yourself. Amazing.
Exactly.
That wraps up an amazing show. Mark Levy, the founder of Levy Innovation, a positioning and branding firm that works with consultants, thought leaders. Again, some of his clients are a department head in the White House, a speaker to the UN, CEOs of major organizations. In case you're just tuning in, by Tuesday morning, the entire episode will be up at mybradio.com. That's the dedicated platform for this show, mybradio.com. And this wraps up another great edition of Mind Your Business. Tune in again next Sunday night for another great edition of Mind Your Business right here on 77 WABC.
77 WABC Radio presents Mind Your Business, hosted by founder and president of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Safliff. Mind Your Business focuses on business and marketing strategies for success. Tune in every Sunday night for this intriguing weekly radio show that's chock full of business insights and marketing strategies that will help you get ahead of the game. Host Yitzhak Safliff has been producing pioneering and creative marketing work for over two decades. He leads a team of marketing experts who help their clients build their brands and grow their businesses. Now, he and his guests offer their business and marketing expertise to you every Sunday night on Mind Your Business.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.